chapter number 6, John chapter number 6, a message that God laid on my heart this week, and we had the privilege of preaching Monday night, singing and preaching Monday night down at Emerton, and kind of got blown away because Clark family was there. We got to sing, and then the Clark family sung, and if you've never heard the Clark family, man, you don't know what a blessing you're missing. And they're out of New Jersey up here. Brother Charles Clark started Visions Baptist Church and Vision Baptist College up there. And it's just an awesome church, awesome people. But that family is just awesome singers. And just like his son, Charles Jr., said, you know, when your father starts a church and they need special singing, you're it. So you learn to sing. And there's a whole passel of them. I think what, they got like 17 kids or something stretched out there. But we got to sing and preach down there and get to hear them. What a blessing. Brother Brent Carr preached a message there. Got to hear him. That was a blessing. And went back Thursday night and got to hear some good preaching, good singing. And God just blessed our heart. But he just laid this message on my heart. John chapter number 6. And, you know, Jesus said that he would not only set us free, but he would make us free. Many translations, as they translate this scripture, and here's why I like to stick with the King James, because it's the most accurate. And they say, oh, they found better. They've never found anything better than what the King James was translated from. They found things that were corrupted and man has got into. But look at what Jesus says, and then I'll describe to you what the other translations say. We're going to begin reading in verse number 30. And if you're able this morning, we'd ask you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. John chapter number 6, verse number 30. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? You may be seated. Jesus said in verse 32, if you abide in his, continue in his word, and I tell you what, the word still has the same truth today. He said, if you continue in his word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in verse number 36, he says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, if you have some other chapter 8. Hey, man, he's got a real different Bible. Hey, man, chapter 8, I am so sorry. Chapter 8, verses 30 to 36. And in verse number 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And as we think about that and think about some of the translations that we read, and I hear it many times, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If the Son therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And I use this illustration all the time. I'm going to use it right now so that you can grasp what I'm going to preach, so that you can grasp what I'm going to say. There's a difference between being set free and being made free. Amen? You can break into a prison and you can set a prisoner free, but that doesn't make him free. He's still under condemnation of the law. Amen? He's still under the sentence of the law. during one of the darkest periods in our nation's history, how we can go back to the time of slavery. And down on the Eastern Shore, there was a runaway slave by the name of Harriet Tubman who risked her life several times to slip into the South. And she would free a slave. She would set him free, and she would lead him through the Underground Railroad into the North, into freedom, into being free from slavery. But that didn't make them free because they had slipped away, because legally, under the law, they could be taken back up to where they had came from, because they were still considered the property of that one. They had never been made free. But then President Abraham Lincoln signed a paper of emancipation that made them all free. Amen. They can no longer be taken into bondage. They can no longer be taken back into freedom. There was a difference between being set free and being made free. And Jesus said, I'm not just going to set you free. He said, I'm going to make you free. And I want you to grasp that thought this morning. But many say, well, what do we have to think about? What's this got to do with me? It's got a whole lot, because the Bible tells us, just like the Jews here, as they answered Jesus in verse number 33, they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And here they don't even acknowledge their own past and their own history. In Egypt, where were they? They were in bondage. What were they? They were slaves. Amen. Over 400 years in bondage in Egypt before God brought them out and set them free and made them free. Many times as they would sin, they would come under bondage. They would come under a tribute to the nations round about them. The Philistines would bring them into bondage and would rule over them and have them paying tribute unto them. We see the Assyrians and we see various different kingdoms. The Babylonians carried them into captivity. What is captivity? That's bondage. And yet they sit and they look at Jesus and they say, we've never been in bondage. We've never been in bondage. And the world today has that same frame of mind. I'm not in bondage to anything. Well, friend, if you don't know it, you're in bondage and you need to be made free. Amen. He can set you free and he can make you free. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells you you're bound by sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was born in bondage to sin, just like a drug baby is born addicted to drugs. Why? Because my parents had taken on a sin nature. My parents bore the image and the seed of Abraham. In Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Though one can bring us into bondage, there's another that can take us out of bondage. Amen. Praise his name. We're bound by death. I don't know if you know it or not, but the mortality rate in the world today is 100%. Amen. You are going to die. If the Lord doesn't come and take the church out and in the rapture before you meet the grave, you will die. You will leave this world by way of the grave. But friend, there's another death that the Bible is speaking about here. There's another death that's far worse than the death of the flesh, the death of this earthly tabernacle that we lay down. It's a spiritual death. It's a spiritual separation from God for all of eternity. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Because we're sinners, we're going to die spiritually. We're not only going to die naturally, we'll die spiritually. We're not only going to die the death that we understand and the death we see, but there'll be a death that comes that's even far worse than that. The wages of sin is death. But praise God, the Bible says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know something today, that death is imminent for the flesh. Death is imminent for every individual. But the difference is between the believer, between the child of God and between the sinner, there's a difference. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, and now this is someone speaking that has imparted his heart and his life to God. who surrendered himself unto him that judges righteously, unto him that had prepared a way for him. It doesn't apply to everyone. It applies to the child of God. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, death didn't have a claim on him. Death was merely a shadow to the spiritual man as he passed through Death Valley. And we can have that hope within us, because he who set you free from the bondage of sin also set you free from the wages of sin, which is death, and can take you spiritually unto him. We're bound by guilt, the guilt and the knowledge of sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We all understand the difference between right and wrong. We all understand good and bad. How many don't recognize evil in the world today when you see it, and you see things happening? You see somebody go in and they shoot up a shooting mall. They shoot up a school. They do these things. What is that? That's nothing but evil. That's nothing but sin in this world. And we understand that it's evil. We understand that it's sin. We understand what is right and what is wrong. And friend, until we come to the place where we realize that sin rules in our life, sin rules in our nature, sin rules within us, we'll never be made free from the bondage that sin brings us under, because bondage, the bondage of sin brings us to that place where we feel guilt, and we have that guilt within us. But the Bible tells us there's a remedy for that. The Bible tells us there's a way to get past that. In 1 John, in the back of the Bible, in chapter number 1, verses 8 to 10, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, each and every one of us are sinners. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. I'm a sinner, and that's all I can brag about. I was a sinner that was lost, and Jesus saved me. Jesus made me free from the guilt and the bondage of sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You can say you don't sin all day long. It don't matter. You can say you don't sin, and there's no sin in you all you want to. The only thing you're trying to do is say that God's word is a lie, and God cannot lie. Amen. Amen. We're under the bondage of the flesh. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers that ever preached, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived and carried the name of Christ, said, the things I want to do, I find that I don't do. Look at what he says in Romans chapter number 7. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to preach to you this morning for just a few moments. I'm free indeed. Amen. If you want to be free, you need to let Jesus make you free. He'll set you free. He'll make you free, and he can keep you free. And I tell you, there's nothing like living free. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to live under bondage. Amen. I wouldn't want to live under tyranny. I wouldn't want to live under what some people in this world have to live under today. Praise God. I'm an adherent to the Second Amendment, and I believe that without the Second Amendment, the rest of the Amendment amendments to our Constitution are useless because it's the Second Amendment that defends the First Amendment, the Third Amendment, and every other amendment that has been written in the Constitution. And if the day comes when they begin to try to confiscate my guns, I told my wife, I'd rather die a free man than to die in bondage and tyranny. I don't know about you, but I'm a child of God, and I believe in God. I believe in my right to free assembly. I believe in my right to free. Has any read what Beto O'Rourke said yesterday in a speech? He said that if churches don't start accepting gay marriage and promoting gay marriage and adhering to all this. Now, let me tell you something. I love gay people. Amen. I love them with all my heart. Amen. Just somebody has confused them about some things. Amen. And if I ever called anybody in this church being disrespectful or hurtful to someone that come in this church that was like that, we would have an issue. Amen. You would be wrong. Because you have an obligation to show them the love of Christ. Now let me just make that perfectly clear. Amen. But he said, if the church in America does not want to start accepting these things, then they're going to start taking away their tax incentive or the tax-free status and all these things. In other words, he's going to start persecuting the church if you don't follow the political guideline. Let me tell you something. The only way that we're going to keep our freedom of religion is to have our Second Amendment rights. Amen? Now, I'm not here preaching guns or anything like that. I'm just telling you, I know in my heart when they start confiscating guns and when they start trying to take away our rights and our liberties that have been guaranteed us under our Constitution, and the only way we have to defend those is with our guns. I would rather die a free man than to die living under tyranny. That's just my own personal opinion. Amen. I'd rather die fighting. I'd rather die standing than to go down in submitting, go down in surrendering to the false ungodliness that this world is promoting. I just want you to get that. I want not just to be set free, I want to be made free. Amen. Look at a few things right here. You understand now, we're under the bondage of sin. We've come under the bondage of death. We come under the bondage of guilt. We come under the bondage of loneliness, the bondage of separation, the bondage of the flesh, these things that are all inherent because of sin. And there was only one thing that could make us free. There was only one thing that could make a difference. And that was a perfect, a sinless sacrifice that would be given, that would be offered in perpetuity for the sins of mankind. I come under the bondage of sin, but praise God. The Bible says, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. How did he do that? He did it because he became sin for us that knew no sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he took our sin upon him. He became sin for us. What I couldn't do for myself, praise God, he did for me. And when I was bound by sin, and when I was under the bondage of sin, I was under the condemnation of sin, he went to an old rugged cross and took my sin upon him, that in him I might be made free. In him I wouldn't have to worry about the consequences of sin, that in him I would find my freedom. In him I would find my hope. In him I would find my consolation and my peace, because he was made sin for me. Death no longer holds that sway over me. I don't worry about death. I don't dwell on death. I don't want to die. I just want it to be quick, amen, if it does happen. My wife, I shared this with our visitors. My wife said she thinks it would be nice if we could die together. I told her, you know, that's kind of cruel, because somehow for us to die together, that kind of is going to entail some kind of a tragic accident. Pain. you know, a car, a truck running over you, airplane crash, you know, it's going to entail something that isn't quite so pleasant. But so be it. If the God gives her wish, amen, I just hope it happens swiftly. Amen. But I don't worry about death. I don't worry about the child of God that dies in the Lord. Some folks, man, they carry on and they go on. I know folks that go, and maybe you're this way, will go and lay in the cemetery and lay on the grave and cry for days and weeks. And if that's the way you mourn, that's your peace. That's the way you do it. You go on because the Bible teaches us we got to mourn. But let me tell you this. When I have a loved one that I know has gone to heaven, I don't see no need to go to the graveyard and to whine over a grave because I can just look forward to the time. I can look forward to the adventure that they're having right now and the time that we're going to have together. The Apostle Paul said the time of my departure is at hand. He knew his execution date had been set, but he didn't say it was come to the end. My life is over and it's going to be awful and it's going to be horrible. He said, no, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was just leaving the city of Rome and he was going to the celestial city of God. Amen. I can picture that journey. And when I have a loved one or friend in the Lord that goes home to be with the Lord, I don't worry about what's in the graveyard. I worry what's over there awaiting on me. I worry about who's over there awaiting for me. And I worry about how he's over there awaiting for me because I know in that place they're not just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, wondering what's happening. But praise God, they're worshiping around the throne of God. They're worshiping the one that has set them free from death. And death no longer had that claim because he was the one that took them through Death Valley. He was the one that paid the price. He was the one who died for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 that he was the first fruits. He died and he rose again to prove that death, hell, and the grave had been accomplished. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 10, the Bible says, who hath, Jesus talking about Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm thankful one day that somebody preached the word of God to me. I'm thankful that one day somebody told me the good news of the gospel. I'm thankful that one day somebody told me the truth that Jesus could make me free. Amen. And he set me free. Amen. I don't have to worry about the separation that sin has brought. In the Bible, we read in Genesis how when God had placed a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect environment and had given them a perfect instruction, and they disobeyed God. They didn't adhere to what he said. And the Bible says that God came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine what it would have been like to live in a world where man wasn't separated from God? And God could come. Can you imagine if God could just come to visit your house? Amen. Can you imagine what it would be like to hear the doorbell ring or to hear the knocker knock and to go open the door and Jesus would be there coming to visit at your house and he could come into your house and he could visit at your house for a while and he could sup with you and you with him for a while and you could fellowship a little while together and have some great time in the presence of one another because there is no sin that separates you because there is nothing between you and him. Everything is good and there's nothing that keeps that fellowship from happening. Can you imagine a time like that when God walked through the garden in the cool of the day and he cried out, Adam! Adam, where art thou? And Adam had to go hide himself. He had to separate himself from a thrice holy God because he had disobeyed God's word. He had committed a sin. You know what sin is? It's a rebellion against God. It's a rejection of God's word and God's will and God's way for your life. He had sinned against God. He had done what God told him not to do. And now he had to hide himself and separate himself from God. Oh, but praise God because of the finished work of Calvary, because God loved us so much, and because his grace to us is so immeasurable. He sent his Son, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4-5, that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, praise Jesus' name. We're no longer separated. We don't no longer have to go and hide ourselves because the price of our sin and the debt of our sin and the cost of our sin was paid when he redeemed us from the curse of sin on an old rugged cross. And when I trusted him as my Savior, that was written in the book by my name, paid in full. I was redeemed. Amen. He paid the great price. I know I've been made free because he took my sin upon him. I know I've been made free because he died in my place and he abolished death. I know I've been made free because that sin that has separated us and the cost of that sin, the wages of that sin had been paid for. And now I've been adopted into the family of God. Now I've been taken back into his presence that I can come boldly before the throne of grace. I can await the time when he calls my name, whether by the rapture or by the grave. It makes no difference to me. I want you to know I'm going home. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, now go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Some call it heaven. Some call it the glory world. I just call it home. Amen. Because that's where I'm going one day. Because my heavenly Father has adopted me into his family. He's redeemed me from the curse of sin. He's made me free. I'm no longer separated from him. And praise God, he's a place. He's prepared a place for me. He's got an abode for me in that place. Some say it's a mansion. Some say it's a room. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're all going to own our own whole mansion. It says there are many mansions. It don't say we're all going to own our own mansion. Amen. Praise God, wherever it is, he's got prepared for me. I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm ready to go because it's home. I'm looking forward to going home. We're under bondage to the loneliness of this world. There are people who can be surrounded with people but are still the loneliest people in the world. People that thinks that no one cares, that no one loves them, that no one understands what they're going through. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:13, I think it is, that we have a great high priest that was touched in every way. He knows everything that we deal with in this flesh. He faced everything. He faced the loneliness. He faced the rejection. He faced the ridicule. He faced the mockery. He faced everything that we can imagine and that you're going through. And you know why he did that? So that he could empathize with us, and that he knows that he empathizes. We can know that he empathizes with us, and he cares about us, and he loves us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says in Proverbs that he's a friend that stays closer than a brother. I want you to know something. You don't have to feel alone because he came that he might set you free from the bondage of loneliness. If something is telling you to harm yourself, if something is telling you that no one cares, and there's nobody that would do anything for you, and you're just in this world and you're going through everything all alone, let me remind you of something. Brother Jim sings that song, I love it. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He cared enough to give his life on an old rugged cross. And it don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Rich and poor. Amen. The holy and the unholy. The godly and the ungodly. He died. You never got godly until you got over being ungodly. Amen. And the only way you can understand that is he died for you. He took your place on an old rugged cross because you had a debt that you owed. You were under the condemnation of sin. You were separated from God. And the guilt of sin was upon you. And he died that he might make you free. He died that he might bring you out of that dark place and bring you into the light. That we no longer had to walk in the darkness of this world, but we could walk in the light. We have so many things. So many things that, so many areas that we can see that he has settled the problem of. He has settled the consequences of. In our insecurities, the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know if you're going to, if you don't have assurance that you're going to heaven, if you don't have that peace in your heart that you're going to go to heaven, if you're worried about what's going to happen to you when you die, you don't have to, because he's taken away the insecurity by giving you the assurance of eternal salvation. He says in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 13 that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not might be, not may be, should be or could be. He says, thou shalt be saved. You can have assurance. You can leave here with peace in your heart today, knowing that he's made you free from the bondage of insecurity. And then lastly, he set me free from the bondage of my flesh. Paul says, man, I struggle. I struggle with what I do. I don't want to do things, I wind up doing them. I want to do things, I wind up not doing them. Man, that sounds like my life every day. Amen. But Jesus said in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You know, if I'm uncertain and I'm unsure and I'm struggling with things, all I got to do is yield to him. Yield to him, and he'll guide me where I need to be. He'll show me what I need to do. He'll take away that bondage that the flesh can bring me under. You see, what I want you to understand is there's not anyone that can do what Jesus has done. He's not only made me free in the spirit, he set me free in my mind. Not only has he set me free in my mind and spirit, but he set me free in my heart to have peace, contentment, assurance, and knowledge. He's not only set me free in my heart, my mind, in my spirit. He set me free in my esteem. I know who I am. I know what I am. No good, dirty, filthy, rotten, low-down, stinking sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke that's been saved by the glorious, marvelous, wonderful grace of God. That's who I am. And I'm at peace with that. And I might not have anything that this world holds precious, but I have Jesus. And I have what he's given me. What he's given me is freedom. He's made me free. And if he's not made you free this morning, If you're here and there's an area of your life that has you bound, I want you to know something this morning. He wants to make you free. He'll free you from guilt. Some of us have done things in the past and, you know, we've been saved and we just drag up and we just keep up pulling it along. The devil keeps throwing it in front of us and the guilt stays before us. But you know, we can remind the devil that it's under the blood. Amen. Amen. Some of us are here this morning. There's some, perhaps, that have never been saved. You've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart. Maybe you've made a lip profession and you went through the motions, but you've never truly surrendered your heart and life to the Lord. And you don't have peace in your life. You don't have assurance. It's because you're still in bondage. And Jesus can make you free. As Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. I don't know what it is that you're dealing with. But if you need to be free of something this morning,